Jillian Albinsky, you are the props person? What is your title there on Homeland?
I am the prop master.
Prop master. I miss the title prop mistress, I have to say.
Mistress just means too many other things that I just don't like.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 318, Props for Homeland. Happy New Year! For this first podcast of 2013, we take you to the set of one of the hottest shows on television. Our friend Jillian Albinsky is the prop master for Homeland, starring Claire Danes and Damian Lewis, and it shoots in Charlotte, North Carolina. When we were there in Charlotte performing the ultimate Christmas show abridged last Thanksgiving, Jillian was good enough to sit down and talk with me not only about her job, but why North Carolina is such a great place to be if you're working in film and television. Homeland is one of the hottest shows on television right now. Can you give us any spoilers?
No.
Okay. Can you tell me this then? I got you know, it's a bit of a thing with me, you know, English actors coming over here, taking our women, taking our jobs, more importantly, playing Americans. This Damian Lewis character, is he as good as everybody thinks he is?
He is, and he's a sweetheart. He's a teddy bear. He's a nice guy. He chats with people. He'll stand at the craft service table and hobnob with people, but he stays in his American accent on set. But as soon as you get him to the bar, back to being a Brit.
Even more reasons to hate him. Even more. You live here in Charlotte, North Carolina. How often is it that you get to work on a big TV show or big movie here in Charlotte?
It changes. We used to do a lot of TV movies in Charlotte. Yeah. We did Hallmark and we did all kinds of other things here. And then things moved off to Canada and various other places. But I worked on Shallow Hal, Eddie, He Got Game. They shot the Hunger Games movie here.
Oh.
So actually we've had quite a bit through here. It's just sporadic. Really,
yes.
Most of my living in Charlotte is earned through commercials. I do commercials and music videos and print shoots and that kind of thing.
Oh, so there is quite a lot of work here. You didn't move here for the work, did you?
I did.
You did?
I moved to Charlotte for the film business.
From where?
I happened to have been living in High Point, North Carolina at the time where my not yet then husband and I met at the Shakespeare Festival.
Okay.
I decided to get out of the theater world and into the film world. Mm-hmm. Somebody knew somebody in Charlotte. I came and did a movie. We needed to go someplace, and we decided it was cheaper to be unemployed in Charlotte than in L.A. or New York.
Yes.
Came to Charlotte, started getting work, and actually, we both worked together for 10 years in the film business in Charlotte.
Wow.
And bought a house and two cars and supported ourselves in the film business here.
That's fantastic. That's encouraging. There's, you know, people talk about, well, where should we go? I mean, it's mostly theater people. Should we go to L.A., New York, Chicago? But Charlotte is becoming a thing. Well, we love it here. I know I just feel like downtown Charlotte, there's a library on every corner and a theater. The Blumenthal Center here has got a space everywhere.
And churches everywhere.
And churches, yeah. So what is your job entail on Homeland?
A general rule of thumb is that the longer format the production, the more compartmentalized the departments are. So when I'm doing a commercial, mm-hmm. I'm the art director. I'm in charge of everything sort of visual, except the actor themselves.
Okay.
But when I'm on a feature or TV movie or TV series, I'm the prop master. So I work with everything that the actors handle. I'm bombs and briefcases, I'm weapons and food, drinks, cigarettes, watches, anything that an actor handles.
Okay.
And so a lot of the stuff that I handle is the stuff that's right in front of the camera.
Okay.
So I get a script, I read it, I break it down, I make lists, I talk to the director, I talk to the writers, we discuss what is this, how does this need to work, how many of these do we need, because I'm pretty much anything that breaks. It's a prop.
Right.
So if there's a breakaway bottle or if there's something that gets consumed that has to be used over and over and over, it's a prop. So
right.
I often need many of the same thing.
How often or how much in advance do you get your scripts?
8 days.
8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And during those 8 days, you're filming the current episode at the same time you're preparing for the next.
Right. And that is one place where episodic television is a little bit different. The prop master is not on set very much. Okay. In most other forms, the prop master is there on set next to the camera, which is part of what I like about being a prop master.
Right.
Episodic television is very different because I'm going to meetings and location scouts and doing all these other things while they're shooting. So I have a crew on set, and then I'm in the office and bouncing around, prepping for the next episode and wrapping the previous episode, returning everything that we rented, taking everything back, doing all the paperwork, doing all that kind of stuff.
Well, and so on a film, if you're the prop master, you're next to the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because you get to see how it all works.
Right.
I mean, how your objects are working on the lens.
And my training is in design, and I'm a scenic designer and a prop master in theater.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I do in film, except on these long format projects. And part of why I'm a prop master is so that I can be next to the camera and have that live interaction and be able to see things and make them happen on the fly. But I am certainly not putting down episodic TV because I have loved working on this show. It's an amazing opportunity. And I get the best of both worlds because I get to work with all the people, put everything together, but I don't have to be out at the bean field at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to be down in the sewers. I get to be, you know, usually wearing clean clothes and, you know, working normal hours.
Okay, so that's good. That's good because I haven't seen any Homeland yet. I don't have Showtime, but clearly there's a couple of spoilers there. So some shots in bean fields and sewers. So that tips me off. So where did you train?
My degree is from Penn State.
Okay.
So a degree in theater arts, and where I did design and stage management.
Yeah.
Bounced around the country doing theater. I was at the Actors Theater of Louisville and the La Jolla Playhouse and the Santa Fe Opera, and landed at the Shakespeare Festival, met my now husband, fell in love, and ended up living in North Carolina.
Who knew? Where are you from originally?
Pennsylvania,
okay. So you must have an enormous staff, I'm thinking, right?
There are 4 full-time people in my department, including myself, and then we have a production assistant. So there's 1 person in the office with me and 2 people on set.
That's not huge.
No, it's not. It's not huge.
Yeah.
It's not huge.
But you, for instance, guns. Are you trained in guns, or do you sub that out to gun people?
I'm in charge of acquiring them and paying for them and doing all of that. And then if it, depending on the circumstance, my guys on set run it. If it's a contained space, not a lot of, if there's no gunfire, but if there's live fire or automatic weapons, then I bring in an armorer for those days.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it like working on a show that is so hot? You know, when you win all those Emmys, when you're, and not only all of that, it's so, you know, seemingly topical and pertinent to the political moment. What's it like?
It was very strange in the first season to call and say, I'm with the show Homeland. They're like, you're with Homeland Security? No, there's a TV show called Homeland. And now all I have to say is Homeland. And people are like, oh, I love that show. We all watch it, blah, blah, blah. So second season was a completely different experience in getting through to people, getting people to respond. Working on a show that is a hit is amazing. Everybody has heard of it. Everybody is talking about it. The scripts just keep getting better and better. They're more and more interesting. This is a unique show that so many people are so good to work with. And that's a real blessing. It's very unusual. You know, there's always some stink pot, some person you don't want to work with, someone who you dread running into.
Been there.
Yeah, exactly. We all have. And one of the great things about working on shorter projects is it's a finite amount of time. You know, you all shake hands at the end and go your other directions, and you may never see each other again.
Right.
This is different. This is more like an office job where you're seeing the same people day in, day out for 6 months at a time.
It's like a day job.
It really is. And so you have all the office politics and all that kind of thing. So it's great that of all the shows I've worked on, for this one to be so magical in the chemistry of the people, because I love going to work with them every day.
Well, and is it a small community of film technicians here in North Carolina, or is it huge because of all this work?
Well, it depends on how you define it. Charlotte has a pretty good size crew, although a lot of people prefer to stay with that, with the spontaneity of commercials.
Oh, I see.
Being able to take time off and be with their families. You know, you work really
hard. To turn things down. Right. Yeah.
According to this guy, and you work for a short amount of time. And the pay is much better on commercials than it is on episodic television.
The dollar per hour.
Per hour. Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Right. So some people in this community just don't want that because they're so used to commercials. That's what they do. They don't want to lose their clients.
Right.
Whatever. Wilmington is more known for the long format projects.
Oh, right. That's where Dawson's Creek was.
Dawson's Creek, One Tree Hill. Mm-hmm. You know, Iron Man. You know, they do more of the long, and they have real stages down there.
Yeah, real sound stages.
And so they, there's a crew down there, but they, if they're busy down there, they're busy in Wilmington. But our jurisdiction, our area is North and South Carolina.
Right.
And so we draw from Charleston and Columbia, and there's people scattered all over the Carolinas who work in the film business. And so the majority of our crew is North and South Carolina.
So you're not working with people you've worked with all the time, because they're often on different projects, and these are the people who are available for this.
Yeah, but after 15 years in the business, I've worked with most of them at some point, or I've heard of them, or I didn't know you were there yet. So it is like a family in a lot of ways.
Hi, this is Brian Gallivan, a.k.a. the Sassy Gay Friend. What are you doing? You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, you stupid bitch.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Well, in 2013, we will be all around the world. For the first half of the year, between now and the end of June 2013, we'll be performing in 60 cities in the U.S., the U.K., and Bermuda. We'll be in Yakima, Washington next week, Hamilton, Bermuda the week after that, Scottsdale, Arizona, Moorhead, Minnesota in March, and then we go over to England to perform in New York, New Brighton, Loughborough, King's Lynn, Norwich, Wellingborough, Southend-on-Sea, Boreham, Wood, Red Hill, Horsham and Nottingham, Wolverhampton, Salford, Keswick, Kendal, Bradford, Durham, Wakefield, Bracknell, Canterbury, and that's all just in April. Mamaroneck, New York, State College, Pennsylvania, Urbana, Illinois, then back to the UK in Newbury, Guildford, Oxford, Croydon, Hedge End, Shanklin, Yeovil, Exeter, Swindon, Crawley, Tunbridge Wells, Tewkesbury, Bromsgrove, Newton, Bridgeport, Barnstable, Solihull, Hereford, Harlech, Poole, Camberley, Hastings, East Dulwich, Aberystwyth, Southport, Lincoln, Barnsley, Barrow-in-Furness, Leeds, Ayr, Stirling. Those are in Scotland, people. South Shields and Musselburgh. There will be more dates added to our tour page. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Jillian Albinsky.
What's the strangest prop you've ever had to create? I mean, you're not working on Dexter, for instance. You know, you're not working on a horror thing. So have you had to create a lot of corpses? Again, without spoilers?
Yeah, actually, I've got some very funny pictures of my lockup with body parts strewn about. Yeah, when we had to buy 50 body bags. I'm actually a little afraid anytime I have to get on a plane, because the kind of things that I have to Google could get me in a lot of trouble.
I've had to Google
bomb making of various kinds,
right,
because bombs are props.
Right, right.
And without any spoilers, there are bombs or parts of bombs twice in the first season and twice in the second season.
Okay.
And I literally had the head of the Charlotte Bomb Squad come in and talk to me about, this is how it would look, this is what it would do, this is how it gets connected, this is how, yeah. God. And so I've got drawings in my office of how these things work.
Your office must look like they go to the perp's house, apartment, and go, this person's crazy.
Yep. And I order stuff from the places that they actually order it for when they're training people in how to detect bombs.
This is like information you don't want to have, in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want to know. I don't want to know this stuff.
Oh, and the things you see and find when you're reading these things. Because our show does have an awful lot to do with violence, not necessarily violence in the show, occasionally, but the violence of the world.
The violence of the world and the psychological violence and the toll that it takes, etc. Yeah. I mean, I've wanted to watch it. honestly, just recently, I haven't. I thought I should take a moment to take a while to watch it because of my friend, the Libyan ambassador, and I just went. I think this is gonna might be tough. Argo was tough for me to get through. I think this show. Everybody says it's wonderful. Everybody says it's great, and everybody says it's great. But I'm a little. I have to say, nervous.
But it's interesting because they've found so many ways to mix in storylines that aren't. That constant barrage of we're under attack.
Yeah, right.
We've got love stories and we've got family issues and we've got, you know, teenager angst and we've got all of these other things that are mixed in too, because it really is sort of is about real life, the real lives of these people and how their lives are touched by all of these other things that they're doing.
Right. Well, and you have that force of nature, Mandy Patinkin, who I fired on Chicago Hope. Does he ask about me a lot?
All the time.
Good, yes!
He's like, where is that Austin guy, and why can't we get him back in here? But keep him out until I'm ready to leave.
right, until he's going out. I only want to be there on his last day.
That's right.
No, it is an amazing cast. Him, Claire Danes, Damian Lewis, and everybody sort of across the board. It's just such a top-notch thing.
They really, really are. It's amazing to watch them working. I get a script, and I've read a lot of scripts, not as many as some people, but I've read a lot of scripts in my life. And you get the script and you see it in your head. And you think, oh, this is going to be great. And you watch them film it and you go, oh, you know, they wimped out over here and that could have been better and they ran out of time. And then you see it edited and you're like, ugh, really? That's the take you went with? And on this one, I read it and I see it and I'm watching them film it, and the actors are making it better and better and better. And then they edit it, and they put the music to it, and you're like, I had no idea it could be that good. Wow. And that's really unusual. Yeah. It usually goes the other way.
Do you watch it live every Sunday night or whatever night it is on?
I'm a little behind. I'm an episode behind, but actually some of us are getting together to watch a couple episodes to catch up and then watch tonight's episode.
Do you have cast screenings of the upcoming episode? I've been on a bunch of shows in L.A. where they'll do that. I think it's a lovely thing, but it's hardly ever, it occurs to me now, the stars watching it. It's the crew. It's the guest stars like me, you know.
Right. And we were actually only a few weeks into the airing of the show when we wrapped.
Oh, right, of
course. So only a few had, but we did do a premiere.
Yeah, okay.
Each season we did a premiere party and we showed it and the Muckety Mucks came in and watched it and said thank you to everybody. And then the actors came and it was really lovely to see everybody there together. Of course, the real fun is a few weeks later at the wrap party. So.
And so what's next for you? Hopefully 8, 10, 12 more seasons of this?
I'm really thinking that it can go further, simply because now I've seen what they did from 1 to 2, because after season 1 I was wondering, how do you follow up on this?
Right.
How do you possibly take this? And now seeing where season 2 ended, there's so many directions they could go in. So many directions. And I think as long as they can keep coming up with the storylines that make it as interesting as it has been for the first 2 years, sure, I would love to have 6 months of work, not just because of the work, but to do this show.
Yeah.
For 6 months a year, for 5 years, that would just be remarkable. That would really be amazing.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your strangest prop via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Arms manufacturer Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Tracy Goldberg. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Brian Gallivan, a.k.a. the Sassy Gay Friend, one of the hottest characters on the YouTubes. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 318 954ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You've totally peaked my interest. Now I have to watch it, if only to stay to the end to see your name in the credits.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.